I'm Elizabeth Ames, and this is the Women in Product podcast. Today, we're starting a new podcast series about the path to Chief Product Officer. Women often tell me that the path to promotion is unclear. In our 2021 report, The State of Women in Product Management, 60% of the women surveyed wanted to be promoted into product leadership roles, but 68% reported a challenge figuring out how to get there. This series will share the stories of 9 incredible women and their individual paths to Chief Product Officer. Along the way, we'll share some insights from our conversations with them and help illuminate the many paths to CPO. To get things started, I want to introduce my collaborator and co-conspirator on this series, Rashmi Ramesh. Rashmi is a senior woman in product. She's held leadership positions in product across large companies and startups in the enterprise space. Most recently, she completed her MBA from Wharton. Rashmi, welcome to the Women in Product podcast.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It has been really rewarding collaborating with you on this podcast.
It's been fabulous working with you, Rashmi. I want to start by going back close to a year ago when you first reached out to me with an idea to create a set of podcasts with CPOs about their journeys. Why were you interested in doing a podcast about chief product officers?
Let's first talk about product management. Personally, a career in product has been really satisfying to me since it culminates in the most interesting aspects of product, business, and design. And second, I aspire to be a product executive and be a part of the leadership team. And because of these two reasons, I really felt the need to understand the journey of a chief product officer, their pivots, their choices, and their approach to actually climbing the ladder, which would further help shape my own thought process towards the next steps I need to take in my career journey.
You were incredibly persistent in your outreach, even though I wasn't immediately responsive. And let me just say, persistent in the nicest possible way. Where did that persistence come from? Why did it matter to you so much to do this?
Yeah, great question. I think I'd always been a topper at school and wanted to make my parents proud. And once into my career journey, I really wanted a seat at the table and have constantly worked towards it as well. I started out as a software engineer and soon wanted to break into product management. And for almost a year, I followed up with this PM manager, constantly checking for opportunities and bugging him. And finally underwent a series of interviews during my maternity leave, and I actually got the job. So this was when I actually realized the value and the power of persistence. And coming up with this idea of the podcast series really mattered to me because I was very uncomfortable with the fact that such information regarding a CPO's journey and really what it takes to be a CPO is almost impossible to find. And hence hiring for such roles then becomes a black box. But when I looked around, I was actually not alone. And I did see many other senior women in product trying to find similar answers. And I was hence even more determined, I think, to find a solution to this problem.
Once we started talking about it, I think we both kind of had our eyes opened. Originally, you proposed including both men and women, and I pushed back on that. But we were both concerned about finding enough women. Can you talk a little bit about how you started to look for women in this role?
Yeah, I think before I reached out to you, I had jotted down a few men who were CPOs at some of the tech companies that I really admired. And then I think I had two women in mind and thought this was a great start. And I felt that because I felt it was hard to actually find more women. But when you actually pushed back is when I did a more thorough research to find more women. And I think via LinkedIn, I found about 1,000 chief product officer profiles, of which, you know, more than 100 actually were women. And there was an aha moment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were both surprised that you found so many. And quite frankly, it was exciting, but it really made me realize how invisible some of the most important role models were. Yet they were out there. That was the point that we really became committed to doing this. Can you talk a little bit about how we selected the women we interviewed?
Yeah, absolutely. Given my previous experience with both large companies and startups, I could certainly tell that the responsibilities for this role would vastly differ between a small startup versus a growth stage startup versus a public company. And hence, we made a conscious choice of choosing CPOs from companies with at least about 500 employees. And these companies were a mix of pre-IPO startups, as well as public companies and mostly tech, I would say, with a combination of hardware and software. And we also try to find diversity with respect to the location of the CPOs and where they were. And again, a mixture of both engineering degrees and some of the CPOs with actually non-engineering, non-technical backgrounds. And we also had a mix of women who had organically grown within their own company to become a chief product officer versus some of them being externally recruited as well.
As much as we tried to get a really diverse set of women and to include non-binary people, it was challenging. The truth is that we did find some Black women and some Latinas, but only a couple, and we weren't able to secure interviews with them. I think it's important to acknowledge that the percentage of women in these roles is low. My best estimate, given the data that I've seen, is probably around somewhere between 20 to 28%. But for underrepresented groups, it's much lower. Many of the challenges that underrepresented women face that we laid out in our 2021 report, The State of Women in Product Management, continue to affect their chances of advancement to the highest levels. And although we did speak to some women CPOs without technical degrees, the majority of them had them.
Yeah, and it was also interesting that while we did find women CPOs in other different locations, but the bulk of them were still located in the Silicon Valley.
So over the course of the next few months, you'll hear our interviews with 9 women CPOs in their entirety. We want you to hear their journeys and their wisdom in their own words. Rashmi, I have to admit that I was often blown away by the conversations with these women, but you were actually doing the interviewing. What was that like?
Oh, yes. And I never expected I would be doing the interviewing, actually. But I really thank you for that opportunity. While I'm extremely confident being on the stage and addressing a large gathering at trade shows and such, I was honestly very nervous for the first few interviews, but as I started interviewing them, I was so drawn to their beliefs, their paths, and their accomplishments that soon this nervousness kind of transformed into gratitude. And I just felt so lucky being there and having to do those interviews with these powerful women and kind of learning their journeys. And thankfully, I didn't have to take any notes as these were all recorded. And that further helped me be more immersed in our conversation and really allow myself to be carried away. And I hope our audience have the same experience as well.
I do too. To go back to our early intention to figure out how women got to the chief product officer role, what was the path and what did it take? Are there moments that really stand out for you from the interviews? Did they change how you think about your own journey?
Yeah, while some of the learnings from these podcasts have really revalidated my beliefs with respect to, you know, being intensely curious and being able to take up different opportunities that come across and the emphasis on building really strong product teams, there have certainly been many aha moments throughout the conversation and throughout these interviews. And let me give you a few examples. They had such a clear understanding of when a company hires a VP of product versus a chief product officer, and how they had figured out a common theme across their different roles, translating those experiences and really harnessing on the theme. And I personally felt that this podcast answered the million-dollar question regarding the work-life balance, which we all struggle with, and how each of these women thought about their career in terms of it being a sacrifice or not. And these are just a few examples, Elizabeth, and there are certainly a lot more.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I thought that the information that they shared on the differences between being a VP of product versus a CPO were really eye-opening, and they made a lot of sense once they said them, but I hadn't really anticipated them. So I thought those were incredibly valuable. So for the next few months, this podcast will be focused on this series. Our first interview will be released later this month on our regular twice a month schedule. We'll have some episodes with analysis and insight, in addition to the interviews themselves, that we can share with you. We looked for patterns or key elements needed to make it to CPO and to succeed in the role. We'd like you to also share your insights with us and with others. We encourage you to create or join listening groups. We'll be hosting some within our Facebook groups. And we encourage you to share your insights from the episode by posting to social media using the hashtag #thepathtoCPO. Rashmi, can you tell us about the next episode, the first interview, and any tidbits from that interview that you'd like to share?
Oh, yeah. Our first guest for this podcast series will be Alex Hardiman. She is the Chief Product Officer for New York Times. And the conversation with her, you know, clearly helped me realize that New York Times is more like a tech company than you would actually imagine. And what struck me most in this conversation with her was how she prioritized her career pivots to actually become this versatile leader and have that range in terms of experiences and industries and bring those learnings back to New York Times to successfully monetize good journalism, which was thought to be a commodity. And I really loved the way she talked about adding a bit of complexity when you get really good at your current role. And last but not the least, she has some excellent advice regarding the skills that one needs to acquire in order to get to a chief product officer.
Those are some pretty good tidbits, and hopefully that will encourage all of you to listen next week when Alex Hardiman joins us. Thanks, Rashmi. I'm looking forward to hearing you interview all of these fabulous women.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Looking forward to the same as well.
Thank you for listening. And thanks to our partners, Discover, Meta, Google, and Upwork, who provide annual support for the work of Women in Product and our community. This podcast is an original production of Women in Product. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a review so that others can discover us, or share this episode with others. If you have any questions or suggestions for future guests or topics, you can reach us at podcast@womenpm.org.